This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Big week for San Diego State basketball as they head to that Players Era Festival. Head to Las Vegas today. Paulie's going to be at the game tomorrow on his Vegas trip when they take on Creighton. Tomorrow's game starts at 11 a.m.
Perfect.
Creighton is probably going to drop in the rankings a little bit. They were 14th last week. The new rankings in college basketball will come out this morning. Creighton lost on Friday to Nebraska, and they also lost one of their key players to an injury. Guard Stephen Ashworth was hurt late in that game, the coaching staff said probably going to be a while before he's back, so don't expect him to play in that game. Now, they still have Kalkbrenner, their big center, who is going to give any team problems, including San Diego State. But San Diego State has one thing that a lot of other teams don't: a big shot-blocking rim protector in Magoon Gawoth. The trick will be keeping him on the floor and out of foul trouble, which was hard to do against a team like Gonzaga. Creighton's very similar to Gonzaga. They're like the Midwestern Gonzaga. You know, basketball-focused school, put a lot of resources into that program, have made some deep runs in the NCAA tournament. Aztecs have both beaten them and lost to them in the NCAA tournament in recent years. And this is kind of a budding, you know, cross-sectional rivalry between San Diego State and Creighton in tomorrow's game.
Any idea if Miles Byrd is going to be back?
I don't know. I mean, as they said, you know, it was more the cramping that got him than the ankle in the last game. So, alleged. You know, hopefully, you know, in the desert, you get dehydrated even faster. So hopefully the Aztecs figure out that problem with all of their cramping players before the game tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And then Wednesday, they'll take on Oregon. And then Saturday, I believe, is the championship or whatever, the final game, and that opponent is yet to be determined. So lots of things still to be excited about for San Diego State basketball.
And this is the tourney where
You get the $1 million to your NIL fund just for playing.
Just for playing, you get $1 million in NIL fund, which is fantastic. And if you win, you get more, right?
Yes, the winning team gets another $1 million, I believe.
That'd be so sick.
That would be a nice little bonus.
Add it to my donation that I made last
week.
That's right. To the, just here, put it with the rest.
You got a nice email?
I did. I got
Didn't
a really...
you for the Mesa Foundation in San Diego State?
They appreciated the shout out, and I got an, I felt very important. That's how you do it. That's customer service right there. They're doing it the right way over there.
So the excitement for San Diego State basketball is juxtaposed against the lack of excitement right now for San Diego State football, as they lost to a not a great Utah State team on the road on Saturday. San Diego State jumped out. They were up 13-0 at like the 2-minute warning in the first half. And go, okay.
All right.
Solid. They're going to snap their losing streak. Things are going well. And then over the next 30 minutes of play, they gave up 41 straight points to the Aggies and ended up losing 41-20 in a game, I'll admit, didn't watch, didn't even realize it was on that early in the day, which is a problem right now for San Diego State football. They're just not moving the needle. Sean Lewis was supposed to in the first season. If not, you know, no one was expecting 12-0
no.
going to the college football playoff, or even a Mountain West championship was probably too much to ask. All you really wanted to see was move in the right direction, install an offense that's kind of exciting. You know, I know there'll be some glitches going forward, but let's see some higher scoring games. Let's see some back and forth football, some excitement. And unfortunately, it really has not happened in the first season. Lewis was asked if the Aztecs are headed in the right direction once. And his quote was, absolutely. We're doing great work here. It's going to continue to move the right way. It takes time to build something at a championship level. It's really, really easy in society to tear something down. It takes a different group of individuals to build and create. We know we've got the right people here that are doing that. We are going to continue to build. We're going to continue to create. And there's going to be championships that come home in the future to the Mesa. That I have no doubt about.
He's bullish.
I'm glad he has the team. I'm glad he has no doubt about it. I think the rest of us obviously are feeling at least some doubt. Not so much like you wouldn't want to make a change at this point.
No,
it's one season. You do have to give him some time.
I did see people calling for that.
Oh, of course. Oh, there's always fans who are going to call for that. When I mean, they're at best, they can match their 4-8 record under Brady Hoke from last season, which was really bad
at
season.
Best.
That's at best if they beat Air Force at home in their finale this week. If they lose, it's a step back at 3-9. And that's just not what I'm sure J.D. Wicker had in mind when they made this hire. I mean, you're looking for, hey, maybe we have a good season. We sneak into a bowl game.
Yeah,
there's some excitement on the offense. You know, people are coming back and filling the stands because it's a new brand of football. It's not the defensive forward kind of slogs that San Diego State football had turned into under Brady Hoke. But now, you know, they're really combining neither. It's like the defense has taken a step back. The offense really hasn't taken a step forward. And it's been a rough season for the San Diego State Aztecs.
Back-to-back 41-20 losses, too.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
The same score?
UNLV beat them 41-20. Utah State beat them 41-20.
UNLV is actually a pretty decent team. Unfortunately, Utah State, not really. They're 4-7 after that win. So that's kind of a step backwards, too.
10th in the Mountain West right now is not, that's not ideal.
No, I mean, I get it. You know, you can't compete with the NIL war chests of the Alabamas and the Ohio States and Oregons of the world, but you can compete with the Utah States and UNLVs of the world that are in your conference. And right now, you're failing to do so. Now, next season, if Sean Lewis doesn't take a measurable step forward, you've got a problem.
Yeah, no question.
He's got next season, but if it goes in this same direction, then you'll have to start thinking we did not make the right hire. Right now, fine. We'll give him his time to, you know, install a complex new system and see how it works in the next year. The question is, will you actually get to keep, you know, all of your players? You know, the ones who have showed any promise will probably be lured away by NIL opportunities and opportunities in you know, bigger conference programs that could go to a college football playoff. How do you keep the players that you, or are you starting over again from scratch next year? How do you ever install a system when you can't keep the players that you just taught your system the year before? That's a major issue for San Diego State. Is it possible? Sure. Boise State's having another good year, probably on their way to the college football playoff if they take care of business. There's no reason San Diego State can't be Boise State, right? I mean, at least they should be able to be Boise State.
Should be the bar. Let's talk about some good college football teams. How about that?
We can do that.
Let's do that.
Okay. While we do that, if you want to call in for Take on Woods, you can do so now. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Well, let's talk about your Notre Dame Fighting Irish for a second.
Pretty impressive dub in a series of very impressive dubs over some, you know, middling opponents. I will give you that. But losing to Northern Illinois was really a low point in the career of being an Irish fan. That was a really tough and inexplicable loss. But a lot of people saying probably the best thing that could have happened to them, because since that loss, they've been a juggernaut. And I don't know how you watch that team and go, that's one of the best college football teams going right now. I mean, they're on fire, Benny. Number one in point differential, which I know is important to you. Wow. Number two in turnover margin. Number one points in play. Number one points per play allowed. Number six in scoring offense. Number two in scoring defense. I mean, they are rolling through teams right now. And, you know, honestly, I'm fully expecting USC to beat them on Saturday to complete my really fun sports year. Woodsy's fun sports year in hell, with the Dodgers winning the World Series. Just perfect.
What do you think my take on the Irish is?
Probably that their strength of schedule isn't strong enough.
They're certainly untested, to be sure, but had they not lost Northern Illinois, they'd be clearly number two in the country right now.
Well, it's one of those things where the schedule's made so far in advance, and when you schedule, yeah, they got the service academies, and I get that. That's some of it's tradition. You beat A&M at their house. Now, A&M has scuffled a little bit since then, but at the time, that was a monster win. You scheduled Florida State. Nobody expects Florida State to be this bad. You scheduled USC. Nobody expected USC to be this bad. So it was
there. Army and Navy were both better than they usually are.
They're better than they usually are.
But when you are used to playing those service academies, Notre Dame has a big advantage over those teams in terms of athletes. They should mop the floor with those teams, and they did. I think Marcus Freeman is a heck of a football
coach. So good,
I think that was one of the best recent hires in college football. Not perfect, but they have definitely taken a step in the right direction. And my take on Notre Dame, this is the year. If you were ever going to Notre Dame.
Just like the Padres. That's how I feel.
A little bit like the baseball season. This is the year. I don't think there is an overly dominant team.
Ohio State's pretty good, man, and Oregon's pretty good.
Yeah, they're both pretty good, and they would both be favored over Notre Dame, but I don't think they're unbeatable. Both of them have had their games in which they have been tested and struggled. They're not immune to it, and I think Notre Dame could step up. Now, ultimately, am I going to, you know, put a lot of money on Notre Dame to advance in the playoffs? They have the disadvantage of no chance at a bye in the first round, because if they don't play in a conference, they can't get one of the four byes. That means they have to win four games to win a national championship. It may keep Notre Dame from ever winning a national championship because, at least in this format, they'll get a home game almost certainly. If they beat USC, they'll get a home game, which they'll have a good chance to win, but it won't be an easy one. But then they'll have to play a bowl game quarterfinal, a bowl game semifinal, and a championship against three really, really good teams.
It's a gauntlet to be.
It's a mountain.
So what they miss, maybe with a lower strength of schedule in the regular season, they get made up for in spades.
They will. If
in
they
the
win the championship, they'll have earned it. Absolutely earned it. But I'm actually somewhat high on your Notre Dame Fighting Irish right now, Lindsay.
They look so good. They're such a fun team to watch.
I will go out on a limb and say they're going to spank USC this week. I don't believe in USC at all. I know you're worried, but
I'm going to say USC wins just to complete my year in the chamber.
We know how it works for you. All right, we got a contestant on the line. Let's get to our first game of the week. It is time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Take on Woods, brought to you by Valvoline. Instant oil change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. We got Scott on the line. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. All right, Woodsy has left the studio. You get to go first in our five-question musical trivia challenge. If you can beat or tie Woods, you will qualify for our grand prize drawing. Two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas, two tickets to Soul of Motown, and a $150 food and beverage credit. The Westgate Las Vegas featuring their $70 million in room renovations and the Soul of Motown, a high-energy concert-style musical tribute celebrating Motown legends. Tickets available at WestgateResorts.com. All right, here are your categories today. Tis the season. Not Christmas, but it's got one of the four seasons in each of the answers. Taking a trip to Pound Town. Those are song titles that all include a euphemism. And then prog rock. Five questions about some of the greatest progressive rock bands. So, tis the season. Taking a trip to Pound Town or prog rock, Scott?
Oh, man. Let's do seasons.
Tis the season. All right. This category was submitted by our listener, Tier 1 Paul, who has come up with five song titles and musical artists, each with a season in the name. You know, winter, summer, spring, fall, autumn, perhaps. I will leave those all open to interpretations. You'll have 60 seconds, Scott, to answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know one. We'll come back to it if there's time left. First question is the two-second song. Frank is queuing it up now. You need to give me the title of the song and the artist to score that point. Scott, are you ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Frankie, you're all ready. All right, your time begins when Frank plays our music. Category, Tis the Season. Good luck. Scott, let's take on Woods.
Summer of 69, Bryan Adams.
Correct. Formed in Garden Grove back in 1984, which punk band asked If You're Talking Back to Me in their 1994 single, Come Out and Play?
Oh, Offspring.
Correct. Originally released by Simon and Garfunkel, the Bangles recorded which hit for their soundtrack?
Easy Shade of Winter.
Correct. Fronted by Patrick Stump, which 2000s rock band recorded songs including Centuries and Uma Thurman?
Fall Out Boy.
Correct. John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John not only sing about the passion of Danny and Sandy,
but
Summer Nights is what it's called.
Oh, dang.
Oh, too fast. 4 out of 5, though. A very well-played game, Scott. You got all the other ones. Summer of 69, Bryan Adams, Offspring, Hazy Shade of Winter, Fall Out Boy. Hang on the line. That could be good enough to at least tie. We'll bring Woods back in for the same five questions. All right, Scott's score is in. Woods comes in without the benefit of the category. Reset our song. Reset our 60 seconds. Woods, your time begins when Frankie plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Scott.
It's Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams.
Correct. Formed in Garden Grove back in 1984, which punk band asked If You're Talking Back to Me in their 1994 single, Come Out and Play?
Offspring.
Correct. Originally released by Simon and Garfunkel, the Bangles recorded which hit for the soundtrack to the film Less
Hazy
Than...
Hazy Shade of Winter.
Correct. Fronted by Patrick Stump, which 2000s rock band recorded songs including Centuries and Uma Thurman.
I'll come back to it.
John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John not only sing about the passion of Danny and Sandy, but also had a top 10 Billboard hit with which song?
Summer Lovin'.
Incorrect.
No!
Fronted by Patrick Stump, which 2000s rock band recorded songs including Centuries and
Uma
Thurman.
Uma Thurman. Is it Pete Wentz's band? Is it... what's that band? Oh, I lose my mind.
It's important.
I know. I can feel it.
Ah, time is up, and Scott, you have won.
No!
By a 4-3 score. So, it's,
so it wasn't seasons?
Yeah, it was.
Summer Love.
Summer Nights is what it's called. He missed it, too. He said
Mother
Summer Love. Summer
of God.
Hot Summer Nights. Donna, Donna, Donna. So what's
the band?
Fall Out Boy. Scott,
Pete
congratulations.
Wentz's band. That's what I said. I couldn't think of it.
Fall Out Boy. Scott, hang on the line. Frank will get your information during the break. You have qualified for Las Vegas. We actually have 5 or 6 qualifiers this month. Had some close games, some tough games, but the Tier 1s have done well.
Man, that hurts. That's not the way I want to start my short BS week.
Sorry. You got 2 more opportunities to bounce back.
God.
like a football coach. Hey, it's just how we bounce back tomorrow.
Yeah, things are going in the right direction, yeah. You know, with this, and we'll see how it goes.
All right, Don't Do This is coming up next.
So I've got some audio of Italian Paul's beloved New York Giants. They're one of the worst football teams, I think, on the planet for sure. But rookie Malik Nabers had some post-game audio. Now, it in and of itself isn't great to hear after a game, but there's just a little extra part of it that has warranted him the Don't Do This.
And I've got a golfer who came through under such immense pressure, like even maybe more pressure than like a knee knocker to win the majors.
Was it me?
It wasn't you.
It was not.
It was not you. That is coming up in Don't Do This after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot.
You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, congratulations to Scott, who won our Take on Woods game. It is time now for a Don't Do This on a Monday morning. And I will start, since we haven't talked to any NFL football yet. There's a bunch of games to get to, but missing extra points that cost your team the game.
Oh.
And I get it, they're longer than they used to be, but they're still chip shots that you should make. And when you miss two of them in the same game, to torpedo your team, you know, that's trying to battle for first place in a playoff spot against a struggling Dallas Cowboys team at home.
Who battled back in that game.
Austin Siebert of the Commanders gets a DDT today. What a crazy ending, though, to that game. So, you know, Washington is struggling. They're down 20-9 with 3 minutes left. Zach Ertz scores a touchdown from Jaden Daniels. They get the two-point conversion, so they pull within 20-17. They decide to, they've got timeout, so they decide to kick off to the Cowboys.
Yep.
And Kevontae Turpin.
Oh, my God.
Missed,
what a run.
Like, Well, first of all, he doesn't field the kick. He whiffs the kick. It rolls to like the one, and you're thinking, oh, my God.
He Bill Bucknered it. It went right through his legs.
Dallas is going to be pinned deep. Washington is going to, you know, stop him and get great field position. But instead, Turpin picks up the ball, makes an unbelievable spin move, like in, you know, Tecmo Bowl or
Madden,
something.
Yeah.
Madden. Spin move.
Welcome to 2024 Tecmo Bowl. You couldn't spin in Tecmo Bowl.
And he goes 99 yards to retake a 10-point lead for the Cowboys. So now Washington gets the ball back. You go down in a minute and kick a 51-yard field goal. So it's 27-20. Once again, they've got timeouts, so they see if they can get the ball back. And they do, but only with 30-something seconds to go. And they're at their own 14-yard line, down 7. So this is, you know, pretty grim for the Washington Commanders. And in one play, Jaden Daniels hits Terry McLaurin right around the 40, 45. He weaves between a couple of defenders, and somehow the Cowboys allow an 86-yard touchdown on one play when they've got a 7-point lead. It is now a 1-point game at 27-26. All they need is the extra point, and they're at least sending the game to overtime. Now, they could have gone for two to take the lead, but they didn't. They decided to send out Austin Siebert again, who... Again, it missed a point after earlier in the game, earlier in the half, and he misses again. The snap was bad. It was low, but, you know, they got it up, and he still pulled it, yanked it left, and it's 27-26. So now they have to do the onside kick, and the Cowboys do the funniest thing, and they return. Wanye Thomas returns that for a touchdown. So two touchdown returns in the last 3 minutes of the game, and Dallas wins at 34-26. Now, because he scored, Washington actually got the ball back and had a chance at a Hail Mary on the last play. When if he had just knelt on it, it would have been over. But you know what? The Dallas Cowboys end up with a rare victory, and the Washington Commanders get a don't do this for missing two extra points that end up costing them what would have been a critical win in the NFC East.
That one, after that long pass play when McLaurin scored, I mean, you want to talk about taking the air out of an entire season. You just feel everyone go... I mean, it's just...
Should they have gone for two? I thought
maybe.
One was the... I thought with all, you know, the way that they were playing and the way Dallas was falling apart, that overtime was not a bad choice for the Commanders. But knowing that he had just missed an extra point the quarter before, that would have made me a little bit nervous. You know, they decided to go for the one, and it backfired, and Washington takes a really tough L. In fact, it's their third loss in a row.
Yeah.
They were 7-2, now they're 7-5, and Philly is kind of running away now with the NFC East.
Crazy, crazy ending. And listen, so our buddy Italian Paul is filling in for Paul today. He's a big Giants fan. Not a fun year for the Giants. They are 2-9. They lost again yesterday. And, you know, listen, Brian Daboll, the rumor is he's could be out of a job in the next 48 hours, Ben. That's the rumor mill that's churning around New York right now. Might make sense. Seems to have lost the locker room. So rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers, they grabbed him after the game, put a mic in front of him, and this is what he said. But listen carefully to see what else he did wrong.
Go out there first, second quarter, don't get the ball, start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What you want me to do?
Why in the first half are they not looking at you?
I don't know. Talk to Dave about that. Talk to Dave.
Did you say something to the coaches at
that time? I mean, they know. They come up to me, ask me what plays I want. That was dark. I mean, I don't know, man.
So,
is he chewing
he
gum?
He sure was chewing gum. They walk up to him, and he's about to talk, and he reaches in his pocket, pulls out a stick of gum, pops it in his mouth, like,
I don't know. Well, I'm not getting the ball.
So I'm watching this.
What's the point? Down 30 to nothing. Now I'm getting the ball.
I'm watching this the whole time going, no. Rookie, come on, bro. You can't have the gum in your mouth as you're answering these questions. Listening to someone who chews gum that way also makes me homicidal. If you're driving in the car on a road trip with somebody and they're next to you, like, have you ever, like, your kids smack? Because when my kids smack their food,
No, I don't think so.
Hannah has to get up and walk away from the table. Like, we can't, I can't hear. I'm kind of with her in this. Like, can't really hear people eating. It kind of drives me nuts. But to have him chewing gum just added insult to injury on a very, very rough Giants season.
Finally, a little doo-doo this for a Monday.
D-D mega doo-doo.
And I'm going to go to the world of golf. Now, there's pressure in golf when you're trying to close out a win in a tournament or a major. But then there's the pressure of keeping your career going. Oh, and it was the season-ending tournament on the PGA Tour. No one really pays attention. It's long after, you know, the majors. This is, though, the top 125 players each year keep their tour cards for next year. Essentially keep either a high-paying job or a low-paying job in which you're just fighting for a chance to play every week. It's night and day. And Joel Damon, who we remember watching, if you watch the Full Swing documentary on Netflix, he's one of the guys, the characters, very open about his, you know, his struggles. Really, just like a real guy who's on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, like an everyman.
Was just outside the top 125 going into this final tournament, the RSM Classic in Georgia. Needed a big week. Got himself in position where in the final day he had a chance, but he knew he needed a low number. Didn't know exactly what it was. Joel Damon went out with his career essentially on the line and shot a 6-under 64 with no bogeys, a hole-out eagle from 110 yards on the par 4 13th hole, and ended up getting in under the number. In fact, he had one stroke to spare. He didn't know that. He had a 6-footer for 64 on the last hole, thinking, this is probably for my tour card.
Oh!
And he rolled it in. Turned out 65 would have been good enough, but either way, what a clutch doo-doo this performance by Joel Damon, who gets to remain a PGA Tour member for all of 2025 now, based on one final great day and on the course.
Wasn't it two final great days?
Yeah, like he played really well on Saturday, too, to get himself in position.
Yep,
but.
And just waking up that morning going, I got to go out and shoot the round of my life just to hang on. Man, it doesn't get much better than that in sports. That's kind of what it boils down
Damon
to.
Damon said he started about thinking about what he loves being on tour and what he was going to miss if he didn't get there. Not just the good paychecks, but the competition, the people in the community that he's become part of, the friends he's made, how he like has to say goodbye to all of them if he doesn't do this. And he goes and shoots that round yesterday.
Pretty sick.
Pretty cool.
Congrats
and that's don't and do this for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Didn't you have something you wanted to tease here?
No.
Oh,
eight,
you did?
At 8.
Oh, at 8?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll come back. We started our conversation of the NFL with the Cowboys Commanders ending, but there were a couple of other sensational finishes during the witching hour in the morning. Had Sunday Night Football last night. The Eagles are starting to look pretty dangerous. Talk a little NFL football from week 12 when we come back with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Starting to get some delineation in the playoff chases in the National Football League, because now we're almost through week 12. We have one more game tonight. You'll hear it here on 97.3 The Fan. The Harbaugh, John Harbaugh against Jim Harbaugh, Ravens-Chargers tonight at 5:15 here on 97.3 The Fan. Should be a good one. John is 2-0 against his brother. Had a three-point regular season win, Ravens over the 49ers, and then the Super Bowl, of course. That was the weird one, right, in New Orleans when they had the power outage.
Yeah,
and they had to delay the third quarter, I think it was, and Baltimore came back and beat San Francisco in that game.
It's Joe Flacco.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this year, both teams are doing fairly well. They're both well into playoff position in the AFC. Chargers actually have the better record by half game going into this game. They're the home team. Not that that means a ton for them at SoFi Stadium tonight, but it'll certainly be one.
Cutting.
And I just read in Sam Farmer's LA Times column, it's also the 63rd wedding anniversary for John and Jim's parents.
Oh.
Jack Harbaugh, who's a longtime coach himself and has set up both of his sons for success. The enthusiasm, who has it better than us, everything that they do, whether you like it or not, the Harbaugh family ethic, instilled by the father. They'll be there, I'm sure, getting plenty of camera time on their 63rd wedding anniversary tonight.
It begs the question, how do I install an ethic in our home?
That's a good question.
We need a bit in our home that we can get everybody to buy into and bite down on, and it's just not materialized yet.
You know, as you know, we're both parents. My kids are a little bit older. Yours are obviously
younger. Your
kids
are a bit older.
It's tough because everyone wants their kids to be absolutely like super successful with everything they do. As a parent, it's like, you know, that's what you want. But at the same time, you know, you don't necessarily want to be that parent who's overly domineering, who's forcing their kids to do something that they don't want to do. And it's always that line, like, are they going to thank me later in life for, like, trying to drive them to do this? Or are they going to resent me later in life if I try to drive them to do this? And which one is it? Like, because you don't know as a parent when you're going through it, you don't know whether you're the parent who's like, oh, my kids later in life are going to go, I owe everything I have to my parents, my mom and dad who made me who I was. Or are you going to be the parent who goes, yeah, they kept pushing me to do this. It wasn't what I wanted to do. And like, I would have had a much happier life if they had just stayed out of it and let me find my own path and my own way in life. Like, which one are we supposed to do as parents?
It's absolutely the hardest part about parenting is knowing when to push down on the gas and when to pull back. Had an instance yesterday in the last Pinto machine pitch game of the season. You know, Bo's attitude wasn't great, and it wasn't a team first attitude. So I kind of got in his face a little bit. I mean, he's six, right? But he knows better, right? He does. And I actually sat him down for a time there, and I beat myself up about it all night. Honestly, like, should I have just let him continue to act out in the dugout and not be a good teammate and be focused on himself? Maybe, because he's six and he needs to figure it out. But also, like, I felt like they talk a lot in youth sports about daddy ball. Oh, your kid's the starting quarterback. How'd that happen, right? Oh, I run the team. Oh, your kid's starting at short and hitting in the three hole. Go figure. I'd go the opposite too much. Like, I'm so afraid of being accused of daddy ball that I'm probably harder on him than I need to be. And so when you hear about the Harbaugh family, when you hear about, like, Bryce Harper's psychotic dad, like,
I mean, the Mannings, you know.
Yes, like, he's not Bryce Harper without his dad being a massive hard ass that pushed him to do what he needed to do.
Earl and Tiger Woods.
He's not Tiger Woods, right? And so it's just the hardest thing about being a parent. Obviously, you worry about all the outside things, but the things that you feel like you should be able to control, you really can't. And so when you see a family that has risen to the top of the ranks, and they're like, and who's got it better than us? You're like, how do I get one of those?
I mean,
bits
when
in
it
my
works,
house?
It's worth celebrating. But I always think for every success story, there's
a Todd Marinovich,
dozens
as
of
people mention, you know?
Dozens of failures, and that's the one you hear about, but you don't hear about most of the guys, you know, the kids who don't have a great relationship with their dad anymore because their dad was just too intense when it came to trying to drive them to success in sports or whatever it is that they're pushing them toward.
I know, man. But again, we digress a little bit. But it is certainly an interesting thing, and what a cool thing for the parents to be involved in. You know, you see it all the time in baseball, the Nola's dad, and that's got to be pretty special watching both your kids out there competing.
All right, got some teams that continue to roll toward the playoffs. One that's coming on particularly strong as the season goes on. We'll talk about that coming up. This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Hey, San Diego sports fans, head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings. Try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple sweetness and a mild smoky chipotle heat, or for a bit of kick, check out the new Cajun sauce with a rich blend of spicy and tangy peppers. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. And we'll talk about some of the teams surging in the NFL after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. I still think the Detroit Lions are the best team in the NFC and maybe in football.
Yep.
They improved to 10-1 yesterday. First time the Lions have been 10-1 in 90 years. 1934, the first year they were in Detroit, was the last time they were 10-1. They beat the Colts 24-6. But there is a team that is coming on very strong in the NFC, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles, who last night, Sunday Night Football, went into L.A. and beat the Rams, who are not a juggernaut, but they're not a bad team, 37-20. And Saquon Barkley has been, if not the best pickup, certainly one of the best offseason acquisitions in the NFL. He's been healthy.
Sorry, Italian Paul.
Ran for a franchise record 255 rushing yards, including two touchdowns of 70 or more yards in the second half. Also had some receiving yards, so over 300 all-purpose yards for Saquon Barkley from scrimmage last night. As the Eagles now 9-2.
Man,
seemed like a team that early in the season was kind of in chaos, and Nick Sirianni was on the hot seat, and all of a sudden now,
dude, you had Philly fans calling for his head, calling him a clown. They couldn't stand him; they wanted him out of there. And now look at him;
they're sitting at 9-2, and maybe the biggest threat now to the Lions in the NFC and their road to the Super Bowl. You could argue the Vikings; they continue to win, but they always win kind of these close games where you feel like it's going to come to the playoffs, and one of these times it's not going to go their way. They actually blew an 11-point lead in the last 30 seconds. It's hard to do that in the NFL. The Bears scored a touchdown, 2-point conversion, recovered an onside kick, one play about 20, 25 yards down the field, and kicked a 48-yard field goal to force overtime in 11 seconds. The game looked like it was over. But then they got a 3-and-out stop and went down and kicked the game-winning field goal to beat the Bears 30-27. So Kevin O'Connell's team, they're at 9 wins as well. Green Bay Packers, they won again yesterday. They looked pretty solid against the San Francisco 49ers.
They're done.
Can't really get it going. Well, that
feels like they're done.
I mean, as a Super Bowl contender, you'd think they're done. Now, they're only a game out of first place in that NFC West, which has the Seahawks and Cardinals at 6-5 after Seattle beat Arizona in a kind of a lackluster game. Just had one like interception return touchdown. And then the Rams had a chance to tie for first place, but they lost, so they're 5-6. But, you know, with five games to go or six games to go, it's really anybody's ball game in that division. Whoever finishes strong, they still all have like another meeting against divisional opponents. So whoever does best in those divisional matchups is going to win. And I can't tell you that Arizona is just clearly so good that they're going to stomp everybody. Same with Seattle. It could still be San Francisco. Could be the Rams. I really wouldn't be surprised if any of those teams ends up as the division winner. Yeah, but I just don't think any of them are going to make any noise if they get to the playoffs.
There are so many middling-ass divisions in football this year. It is. Look at the NFC West. Your leaders are tied at 6-5. Your NFC South, Ben, your leader is the 6-5 Falcons. You look at the AFC South, 7-5 Texans. You look at the AFC North, Steelers and Ravens at the top. I mean, and then in the East, the Bills, the class of the East, certainly everybody else is around 500 or worse.
I kind of think that our playoff teams are set.
I feel the same
NFL
way.
And so in the NFC, it's going to be the Lions, Eagles, Falcons, Vikings, Packers, Commanders, and whoever wins the NFC West.
Yep.
That could be any of the four teams. But I don't see the Bucks are the closest, at 5-6, or the Cardinals, if they don't win. I just don't see them making a run late in the season. And then in the AFC, Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Texans, Chargers, Ravens, and Broncos. They're all at least 7 wins. The next team, the Dolphins, we're playing better, but they're 5-6, so they're a game and a half back.
Yeah, they won 3 straight.
They'd probably be the one team that could make a late run. Tua's been playing pretty well if he stays healthy, which is a gigantic if. He's one concussion away from his career being over. But if he stays out there, they're probably as good as the Broncos, at least. Question is, can they catch them over the last 6 weeks of the season? But we're 6 weeks left, and honestly, I'd be stunned if I just didn't name, 11 of the 12 playoff teams plus the NFC West champion already.
Yep.
It's just there's not a lot of necessarily drama. No teams at the bottom of the standings that look like they're going to come up and surprise anybody at this point.
I mean, have you seen a 10-1 team in the NFL that you believe in less than the Kansas City Chiefs in the last 5 years?
I know you say
years?
That. And, I told you, don't bet the Chiefs against that spread of 10.5 against the Panthers was too much. It's all different once the playoff starts, though. They can look as unimpressive
true.
As anybody.
But don't we
and
say
then the playoffs come around.
It's true, but we say that every...
And you're going to bet against the Chiefs in a playoff game at Arrowhead Stadium? I mean...
And winning games like that, it shows you that you can, right? But still, I mean, needing a walk-off field goal to beat the Panthers is a tough look. And Patrick Mahomes even said after the game, he goes, I'm ready for some blowouts, man. I'm like, bro, the ball's in your hands. Like, they just... I'm not saying it's a mirage at 10-1 because they're obviously battle tested. They know how to win close games. They're, Super Bowl champions. So they know how to do it. But you look at that and go, could you see them going 1-done in the playoffs? I know they're great when the calendar turns, Benny. But I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan right now, you are hanging by a thread.
You know, I can't. If they get the bye, I can't.
Yeah,
because then they'll play a winner in the next round, and they'll have to overcome that week off. If they end up having to play in the first round, they'll win that game against a wild card team like the Broncos
for sure.
But if they have the bye, I could definitely see them getting upset. I mean, you know, Chargers have the worst strength of victory of any playoff contender. They haven't beaten anybody really this year. This will be the test tonight against the Ravens to see if they actually, actually Denver hasn't beaten anybody either. They both have really easy schedules. So we'll see. But, you know, the playoff races are not shaping up that exciting in the NFL coming down the stretch the last month and a half of the season here.
College football, greater than NFL football.
At this point, yes. There's more drama. There's more theater. Although, you know, a lot of people say now, basically, it's pretty much the 12 teams close to locked in. I mean, we can talk about it a little bit more in the second half of the program, but you've only got about 13, maybe 14 contenders at this point for the 12 spots. Got 1 week of the regular season, conference championships, and then we'll have the playoffs.
Coming up next, I eat my words.
I eat them.
Swallow them.
Well, it's Thanksgiving week.
It is.
It's next on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.